are now tuned in to Culture Zine Radio Network, where urban culture lives.
ESMG Warner. His name is Brandon Padilla. You know, it's going to be a hot show. You there, B? Well, you know what, man? Let's kick into some language about what's going on with the music. First of all, I want to give a shout-out to my man, Scotty D. You know, glad you're feeling better, brother. We will be doing this new show, so let's get some things going. Let's play this record, Showdown, from Brandon. And when he gets on, he'll explain that.
Please allow me to reflect in the moment. My chemical obsessions lying dormant and lifeless. I'm always alone when I push things further.
Where urban culture lives. Tonight, like I said, we got a very special guest, my man Brandon Padilla from, you know, Warner Brothers. What's up, bro?
Are you there? Can you hear me?
We're here, brother. We hear you.
All right. That's what's up. Dude, I love hearing the record on the air right now.
Give us a story about that record.
Okay. So the name of the band is called Downtown Attraction. The vocals were done by Jack Cash, guitar by Matty J, bass by and drums by Stephen Asbury. The band was produced by Mike Klink. If you Google Mike Klink, he has a laundry list of bands that he's produced. Most notable would be, hold on. I'm sorry, dude.
Sorry, bro. So they're on your label? They're on the ESMG label?
Correct.
Okay. Yes. And this is coming out this year or coming out top of the next season?
It will be coming out this year. Produced by Mike Klink.
Okay.
Yeah, Mike Klink did Guns N' Roses. That's what I meant to say. Guns N' Roses,
okay.
Motley Crue, Megadeth, UFO, et cetera.
No, so he's a monster producer.
Yeah, he's a winner.
So let's get into some of the background on who you are, man. A lot of people don't know what you – I know you. I've known you a long, long time. But introduce yourself to my fans. You know,
okay.
You're listening to Culture Zine Radio, where urban culture lives.
Okay. So my government name is Brandon Padilla. My nickname is Brando. I've worked for multiple labels. Most notable would be Delicious Vinyl, Virgin Records, Hollywood Records, ESMG, et cetera, Arista. You know, I started out doing radio promotion, and then I evolved into doing product management, which is just a fancy name for a marketing executive, et cetera. You know what I mean? So that's where I'm at. And I've been in this game for like 20 plus years.
You know, when I met Brandon, he was over at another label. And he was working the Toddy T joint.
You're talking Thump.
And Thump,
yeah.
And
my first label was Quality. I worked for Quality Records. And I was a dancer for Light a Shade of Brown. That's how I got into the game. Via my man Cliff Ritchie, who he's from Riverside. Yeah, Riverside, California. I evolved and became what I became. You know what I mean?
So let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
You guys are basically a major independent. What do you guys look for in an artist over there at ES?
These days,
I look
their social media, and if any, like AirPlay, et cetera, SoundScan, et cetera. So I pull up the SoundScan, I pull up the AirPlay, and I just look, at their discography, who's producing them, et cetera. And then
okay.
I make an educated decision about who I want to, you know what I mean, decide to sign.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
What do you tell young artists that bring you instrumental, bring you music and sit down and talk to you about what they want to do? What is your conversation with these young cats? Because a lot of them don't really understand the structure of the business, the structure of the music, and surely the structure of how the music business has changed. And I definitely want to talk about some of that with you guys, because you guys are an emerging label with a nice powerhouse behind you, but independent enough to make your own decisions without Warner Brothers making decisions for you. That's a unique situation right now.
It is. It is a unique situation. For example, I have an artist that just approached me recently, and we've had like three meetings already. His name is Loose Cannon, and he's produced by Mustard and Mike Will.
Nice.
And yes. So then I do all the background research, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Mustard actually sent me an email recently and said, hey, if you deal with my boy, I got him, I got his back, et cetera. Those are the kind of relationships that I'm looking for. And then plus he has a record with Miley Cyrus, produced by Mike Will.
Nice.
So
yeah, and Mike Will's a bad boy right now.
Yeah. And then as far as, I'm always concerned about clearances, because anybody can do a record with anybody. But if we don't have the clearance, then it's null and void. So,
to get too far off track,
mm-hmm.
Explain to them why they need clearance. See, a lot of these guys, what we do here on this show is we talk about what goes on, how this business works, and you and I both know. I have my own independent label, and producers, and it's hard to deal with artists that don't understand how this game works. So could you give us a little insight on why you want those clearance samples being cleared?
You want those clearances because, you know, they can give you a, you know, let's say you have a power artist, let's say like a Miley Cyrus, okay, in the example of Loose Cannon. They can give you a clearance for the single, but not give you a clearance for the video. And you want to make sure that you have everything, all your ducks in a row, so that you can launch your campaign without a glitch, if that makes any sense. You know what I mean?
Yes,
like you,
it does.
You want to have it just roll out without any qualms, if that makes sense. And that's what I look for, you know, because, you know, yeah, it's great. You can come to the table with a great song. Let's say for example, Loose Cannon. Mustard sent me an email saying, yo, I got his back. Don't worry about it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's what I'm looking for because that's what you need. Because anybody can produce a beat for anybody or anybody can be a feature on anybody's record. But if the record label isn't going to clear it, then it's null and void.
Right. Okay, I get that. So we got a lot of other artists that I know you got to. We're going to save some of that. We're going to save those last couple of songs for the end of the show. We're going to get real into some game here, Mr. Medea.
Okay.
When you go and look at an artist and you sign the artist, do you sign them because they have they're a producer or you sign them because of their social media or do you sign them because this kid is hot? Have you ever taken an artist just thinking back because this kid is just hot? Not the social media, not the numbers, just this kid is a hit. And
initially, I look at their substance.
Okay.
You know, their creative substance. And then after that, once I establish the fact that, okay, this guy or this female has something, then I start looking at the social media. Then I start looking at, you know, the sound scan in the media base numbers and, you know, where they got airplay from, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But first, always and foremost, it's the substance. Like, do they have something that puts a chill up my spine, if you will.
Right. Do you go out and solicit other producers to do remixes? I know you have a slew of producers, but if somebody came to you with a nice remix of one of your tracks, what's the process for you?
With a remix?
Yeah, for your track, for one of your artists.
Yeah. If they do it just off the cuff gesture, you know, without having to solicit, I deal with a gentleman. His name is DJ Polar Bear, and he does EDM remixes and whatnot. You know what I mean? So if I'm trying to take an urban record and cross it over, you know what I mean, and try to, you know, do something different. You know, he's my go-to guy. It really just depends, Shaki. It really just depends.
Okay.
Like, it's a case-by-case situation.
Okay. That's a good answer. And by the way, you're listening to Culture Zine Radio, where urban culture lives. Shouts out to my brother, Polar Bear. That's my dude. He's going to be coming on this show soon with another show.
With Polar Bear?
With Ed. Yeah, him and Ed Waterford got a show coming up. They do a show.
Yeah,
it's going to be Ed Waters' show. And Ed is going to be doing Sundays here. So, you know, Polar Bear's family, and it has been for years.
Friends on Facebook.
Yeah, that's my dude. We all coming together trying to make some things happen, B.
Okay.
So the other thing is, when you're out on the road with some of your artists.
Excuse me?
When your artists are out on the road.
Uh-huh.
And you're marketing them. Is there a specific way that you market your artists? I'm trying to get these kids and some of these professionals to understand that there's more than just, we dropped it on the radio 2 weeks ago and we went gold. There's a process. and you and I know this process, and a lot of people, without having to give up a lot of names, you know, make us look good. There's a lot of people that make us and those artists look good, and it makes it look really easy. You and I both know, because we've come up through those trenches of being those guys on the road, working those records for little or nothing to get to where we are now. So when you're talking to these young guys and you're sitting down and you're talking about some marketing plans as a perspective from a president, and by the way, you're the first label president we've had on this show, so I'm very appreciative. As a label president, when you sit down and you talk to these artists, what's your conversation perspectively on how to approach their product and how to approach their deals?
I don't care about, you know, because some radio promoters will approach you and say, hey, I'll get you, without saying any names or calling out names per se.
Correct.
You know what I mean? I'll get you 200 spins per week, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know what? If 50 of those spins are coming out of Spokane, Washington, I really don't give a shit. Can I cuss on this show?
You can go for broke, brother.
Okay. So I don't give a shit. You know what I mean? I don't give a shit about 50 spins out of Spokane, Washington, because that's not going to translate into anything. I'm looking for major markets. I'm looking for L.A. I'm looking for the Bay. I'm looking for Chicago. I'm looking for Detroit.
Atlanta.
I'm looking for New Orleans. I'm looking for Miami. I'm looking for the
Carolinas.
I'm looking for Philly, et cetera. You know what I mean? Because that's going to translate into record sales. You know, 50 spins out of Spokane, Washington, or Tacoma. You know what I mean? And that doesn't make any sense to me. You know, and it's not worth making the dollar spend.
That's true. I have a question for you. How do you think that the digital side, streaming, and as we talked about, even internet radio, those things, have changed your label and your job? Is it easier for you? Does it make it a little more complex? I know for me, as a label head, it makes me a little easier to have a stronger connection to what's really going on.
I know you and I have history. It's a new approach, Shaki. You know what I mean? To be quite honest, it's a new approach. Yes, you do want to have your streaming publishing. You know what I mean? In line, you want to have your digital, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Whereas before, we didn't have to worry about that stuff. But now we do, and we want to monetize our videos. You know, we want to have all our ducks in a row, and then we want to cut the right deals. You know, most likely it's a 360 deal, whereas before all we cared about was, you know, the royalties off the record sales. But now we want everything. We want 360 degrees of everything to make it worth our while for our investment, if that makes sense.
Now, explain that. Because I understand what a 360 deal is, but a lot of these kids don't understand. I know the good and the bad parts of a 360. So let's get into that right now and talk about the deals you guys offer at ESMG over there, how you guys structure you guys' deals, what you guys kind of do, without giving away the farm, but kind of give me some generalities. Because the situation you guys have, we stated before, is not a new label, but it's a new situation because it's not dealing directly the old way. There's a whole new way of music distribution and how product is made and delivered. And so we have to get into this new age. And it's scary for all of us because both me and you come from the old guys. My camp is all right. Guys that come from the old way, and we're learning the new way. And I actually like it because I'm a digital guy. It gives me a little more control. But explain. Let's get into talking about the difference in those deals and how some of those things work.
Agreed. So a 360. So in the old days, like I said, we would just take a percentage of the royalties. So any record sold, we would get our percentage, and everything was all good. Okay. These days, we're going to cut a 360 deal because back in the day, we used to make $10 wholesale per CD. Right? So you sell 500,000 units, you sell 20,000 units, you do the math, you figure out you're making a profit, okay? Now these days, you're making 99 cents or $1.29 per download. That is if the consumer is downloading it legally, okay?
Correct.
I would say six times out of ten, they're not. and they're getting the record for free. So now we turn to streaming, we turn to touring, we turn to merchandising, you know what I mean? All of the above, everything.
So a bigger chunk of your publishing,
yep.
Merchandising,
so
management.
Degrees,
yep.
Which means full circle. We want a piece of everything. That's what makes the record label want to invest, because now we're going to be able to hopefully recoup our money and make a profit.
Okay.
You feel me?
So when an artist comes to sign with you and they say, well, we want a deal, we don't want a 360 deal, what's the conversation from you as the president? Because I know you're the head cheese right now. It's a little different when you got the pressure.
Can you repeat that question?
It's a little difficult when you have the pressure on your back. What do you do when your artist comes to you and it's an artist you like? And we've all had these situations. The artist we all like, the label likes. You're the head of the label. When you say, I really like you, but they say, we don't really want a 360 deal. Are you guys willing to sit down and talk to them about what's the deal and why you want the deal and how it works compared to some major labels at this point? And I won't name any names. We'll be like, well, if we can't get this, there's no deal.
That would be a hard no. Like a no, no. It has to be a 360 deal or a 50-50 deal. If they have money on their end and they're willing to match whatever we put in, you know, then that's something that.
You're talking about marketing
feasible.
Promotional dollars?
Correct.
You're talking about marketing promotional dollars, right? Okay. So they have marketing promotional dollars. They have a street team there. You guys are willing to look at a 50-50 glorified production.
Even if they don't implement the street team, even if it's all on our side, but they're willing to match and they're in agreement with the decisions that we make, then that would be something that we would consider, you know?
Okay, dollar for dollar.
That would, 50-50 deal. You know what I mean? So they're putting in, you know, 50% of what we're putting in. The 360 deal is something a little bit different.
It's a deeper investment.
Excuse me?
It's a deeper investment.
Correct.
And it's a long-term deal. A lot of people don't understand.
And
50-50 deal is not as long.
Right. And in a 360 deal, we would be willing to pursue if the artist, their social media numbers are up to par. Oh, okay, they're putting in work. Like, you know what I mean? They got X amount of numbers. They got X amount of followers. Okay, I got it. Oh, they already have merch? Okay, that's great. That's awesome. All right, let's pursue this because it's worth giving them an advance. That's the difference.
Okay.
With a 50-50, you're not giving anybody an advance. But with a 360, you would, in order to secure the fact or the idea that you are going to recoup your investment on top of that, make money, and split it 50-50 with the artist that you're getting into bed with, per se.
Okay. Now, two questions. The 50-50 deal, one of the things, do you guys control their social media, meaning patrol their social media, or do you guys allow them some freedom on the social media? And the other question is, do you guys put the website together, and do you have control over that?
We would attempt to, what's the word I'm looking for, just add on to what they're doing already. You know what I mean? So if they have an X amount of social media numbers, then we would do our due diligence on our side in-house or outsource it to an independent company to just grow the number that they already have established. Okay? That's the way that it would work. And I'm at a loss for words, but I'm trying to figure out the next. Just enhance. That's the word I'm looking for. Enhance what they already have established.
Okay.
Enhance what they already have established. If they don't. Excuse me?
No, go ahead.
No, I'm saying if they don't have anything established, then, you know, then we take a different approach. It's a different approach.
Okay.
And that's very, very important. Because you have to put numbers on the board, if you will.
Right.
You know what I mean? You have to make it look good. Especially for us, for the label that I work for, I mean, we're a publicly traded company. So
right.
It has to look good for the investors. And you know,
sense.
you have to drop names and whatnot, et cetera. But you have to put those numbers on the board for it to look appealing to these investors that have no idea of what hip hop or music, whatever genre it is within music. You know what I mean? To say, hey,
are there certain genres that you guys do or certain genres you don't do?
We look for anything that's going to make money, you know, but primarily rock and hip hop. And now we're dabbling into EDM. But
okay.
Yeah. But it's not to cut you off, I'm sorry, sir. But primarily like R&B singers that are singing over EDM now.
Like the old disco we used to be.
Yes. Yes.
Like disco singers
that were background singers.
Right. They were background singers for standard R&B artists, but they couldn't get a deal, so they went and sung disco and became stars on their own. I love that.
So, like, there's this artist that I'm trying to mess with right now. His name is Joseph. And Joseph is a African-American artist, you know what I mean? But he sings over EDM beats, and he's dope, you know? And I'm trying to bring this home. But, yeah, that's kind of like the lane that I'm trying to jump into.
Okay.
As far as that.
We're going to take a break. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk about this other blazing single that you got coming out with Stewie, man. This is a beast. Don't give nothing away. This is Culture Zine Radio, and it's Culture Zine Radio where Urban Culture
lives.
All right,
I'm here.
And I'm going to drop that Stewie track, all right?
Okay, I'm here.
Shawty try to okay for me. Make Shawty go ways for me. These other hoes don't play with me. If I fell behind, I'm like she were a servant. She popped that pussy for me like her daddy coached the Spurs. She fucking with my wavy, the most valuable pussy. She could have been a gymnast, got that talented pussy. I wanna thank her mama and her dad for that pussy. I eat it while I'm smoking, blow that gas on that pussy.
Radio.
All right.
Welcome back. Yeah, all welcome right. back, man. It's the Coaches in Radio, where Urban Culture lives. You know, my producer over there, you know, Master Green, you know, the young brother that I introduced you to. We're we're over here with Brandon Padilla, the president of ESMG.
A.K.A. Brando.
A.K.A. Big Brando. What's up, man? So, you know, give me some history on that record. I know Stewie's hot in ATL down there.
All right. So I discovered Stewie Rock from this young lady. Her name is Arlinda Garrett, and she's awesome. She's a old school record promoter out of Atlanta.
Yeah, I know who she is.
You know Arlinda? Okay.
Yeah.
So Stewie had this record called Atlanta Light, and it was being promoted by my boy Shadow Stokes, that used to be my co-national when I worked at Virgin.
Okay. I know Shadow. Okay.
You're laughing because you know, right?
I know Shadow. Yeah.
Okay. So, he was my co-national. And so everything just kind of fell into place. And my CEO, David Mystery, he loved the record Atlanta Lights. And he thought, you know, it's going to be like a another ludicrous type of situation where you have an air personality or a DJ on a big radio station in Atlanta and you can translate everything. You know what I mean?
Correct.
We were working at that time, we were working with Phoenix 51, which was led up by Joe Iskro. I don't know if you know the history on Joe Iskro.
I know Joe very well. Very well.
Okay. So yeah. you, yeah. Yeah, we'll chuckle within ourselves. Yes, and then
yeah.
David Asterson, and David Asterson is from Whittier. That's the same city that I'm from. So
right.
you know, there was just a lot of dots that were connected. But he has a show on Hot in Atlanta. It's called The Dirty Boys. His DJ name is Jay Nix. So it's not Stewie Rock is his rap name.
Yeah.
But they're on Monday through Saturday. And then
he's blazing. I know what he's doing over there.
Right. And then For Me was produced by Knight Rider and KD. And the original version was featuring Looney. So Looney was signed to 300, and you know the history on 300.
Right.
Okay. All right. It's the old Def Jam crew, basically.
Right, it is Def Jam, actually.
Right. And then, so we shot a video, and that was directed by Cricket, you know.
Okay.
And then
they
went back to the drawing board and got this version with Kurt Cobain. And
nice.
Yeah, so that's what you just heard right now, was the version with Kurt Cobain. You didn't hear the version with Looney. The original version was with Looney.
So is that going to be the remix, or is this one going to be the remix?
We're not calling it a remix. We're just going to put out the version featuring Kurt Cobain.
A and B, yeah, flip it. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I definitely want to do that, man. I want to thank you for coming on and giving us your time, and we very much, very sorry about the last week. We had some technical difficulties, but thank you for having a belief in our relationship and allowing us to do some things. And we love to break records, man. So don't get us any stuff that you don't want to break. We're going to break it for you. We'll play it. We'll bring you back. I definitely want to have you coming back and forth on our show, interact with you. Of course, you know, we all family. My co-host over there, Master Green.
You got everything that you need from me?
Anything that you need from me, you got. You already know that.
Well, you want me to tell you, like, some artists that I'm looking at right now? I shouldn't put it out there, but I'm willing
to do it for you.
I'd
love to get some gossip scoops.
30 seconds. So, you know D-Train, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so he's got this artist named Donye, which is similar to this artist Joseph that I'm trying to sign as well. And Donye is singing over EDM beats. And then we got the NWA movie coming out. Little Eazy-E has submitted some music to me, and I'm trying to work with that. Loose Cannon, that's the guy that has the song with Miley Cyrus. I mean, Schoolboy Q. I mean, Mike Will produces his beats, Mustard, etc. This kid, I'm really, 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 really excited about, and I'm trying to close this as soon as possible.
Sounds like you
got to
have a hot fourth quarter.
And yeah. Well, no, I would launch him in the first. Well, maybe Little Eazy-E because the release date of the movie.
Of NWA, yeah.
Young Twan, he just won the rap contest here in Los Angeles. So
yeah,
he
I heard
to go
about
on
this kid. He's pretty hot.
Yeah, he won like 5G. He's a good kid. He's a gentleman. I love him to death. He has skills. I think he's amazing. There's this other female rapper named Gia Medley. She's Colombian, if I'm not mistaken. And she's pretty, but she spits like a dude. You know what I mean?
Whoa, like a pit bull in a dress?
Yes. That's the best way to put it, pit bull in a dress. And then I have this other kid band. They're a rock and roll band, and they go to a recording academy school. They're called Minor Strut, and they're amazing.
That's nice.
Minor Strut, they're amazing. And they lean more towards like rockabilly, you know.
Okay.
And then there's this other band that I'm dealing with called Rapscallions, and they're touring and they're doing big things, and I think it's amazing. So,
I love to see young labels with young execs with a heart, you know, signing real music. That's what we need. We need access to these artists that are really out there, not just certain types, but, you know, there's all forms of hip-hop and rock, and I love the mesh. If people wanted to get a hold of you, how do they get a hold of you, B?
You can email me at bpadilla, which would be B as in boy, P as in Paul, A, D as in dog, I, LLA at ESM as in Mary G USA.com.
And you guys got a website?
Yes. ESMGUSA.com.
Okay. All right. Make sure y'all hit that brother up. This is a real dude here. And you know, in that I want to definitely give shouts out to my partner over there, the producer, and next week he'll be co-hosting with me, Master Green. Definitely remember this. If he doesn't always come when you call, but he's always on time. Peace and love. You can hit us at Inside the Game Radio Show at Gmail, Twitter, and Facebook. Next to that, we'll see you next week, and we're out. Peace.
That's what's up. Thank you, Shaquille.